So shalom, everyone, and welcome to Partners for Progressive Israel, Conversation with Israel and Palestine. Today we're speaking with Knesset member Meirav Michaeli about the opportunities and challenges facing the Israeli left. At a time when the death of the Israeli left is frequently taken for granted and many mourn at the tombstone of the two-state solution, we want to hear more about creative ideas and grassroots initiatives flourishing in Israel that can help revitalize the left. We also want to hear how we, American Jews, can help. Partners for Progressive Israel depends on your support. Though participation in this program is free, we kindly ask for a suggested donation of $10. Meirav Michaeli is a Knesset member for the Zionist Union and the current chair of the Caucus for Female Knesset Members. Prior to entering politics, Michaeli was one of Israel's most prominent journalists, a Haaretz columnist, and a producer and host of her own primetime news program. First, some technical matters. All callers are muted and will stay muted while Meirav Michaeli is speaking. When we open the call to questions, you will be able to address Meirav by unmuting yourself. To unmute your call, please press star 6 in order for us to hear you. Please remember to press star 6 again once you've finished asking your question in order to remute your call. This will help cut down on background noise. Meirav, the stage is yours.
Thank you so much, Maya, and hello, everyone. Thank you so much for having me for this call. First of all, thank you for the lovely introduction. Let me just add that I am currently the opposition whip. Even though this is only my second term in the Knesset, these two last Knessets are full of especially many new relatively members of Knesset. So even though it's only my second term, I'm already the opposition whip and the chair of my faction, the Zionist Union, as well as a member of the Foreign Affairs and Defense Committee, something that was extremely important for me to be from the first day I came into the Knesset. So I want to repeat what you said. A lot of activities, a lot of grassroots, creative ideas, and civil activities that's really flourishing and that's really fighting the bad right-wing government that is causing a lot of damage to Israel, to its citizens, both those who voted for it as well as those who didn't, of course. And the rumors of the death of the left are far, far, far too early and inaccurate. I have to tell you that for us, first of all, I am now on the way back from day work in the Knesset, in which I, as the chair of the caucus for the gay community in Israel, together with my colleagues, one from Meretz and one from Yesh Atid, have initiated a day for gay rights in the Knesset for the first time ever. It's being mentioned and a whole day in the Knesset, 9 different committees have dealt with different issues occupying the community, and things that need to be taken care of have been dealt with during the day, as well as a festive convention about women in the community, as well as a mention in the assembly. And even the prime minister, who understands, of course, the value of the gay and lesbian community in Israel for his propaganda needs in the world, has even bothered to show up and say that each and every one of us was born as a human being, even though that's all he said. And of course, unfortunately for us, not for him apparently, he cannot deliver the legislation it takes to make Israel a place with not only rights de facto, but also rights de jure. So this is one thing that was really inspiring, and so many of the community, and especially youth, were just all around the Knesset all day long. And people who are involved in so many civil fights and activities, not only for gay and lesbian and trans, etc. rights, but also obviously for other minority rights. All partners to the community fighting for human rights in Israel had such an beautiful opportunity to display this solidarity of the camp that fights for human rights in Israel through this mention of the gay and lesbian community rights. And the other thing is that this day came the morning after last night, in which we, the opposition, have managed to vote down a legislation proposal brought by a member of Knesset from the Likud, which was by all means a dangerous piece of legislation, which was a step in the direction of annexation of the West Bank. She wanted to compare the status of military courts in the West Bank to civil courts in Israel, and was this close to succeed, but then we managed, by good organization of the opposition, catching the coalition in a, maybe feeling too confident, maybe just not noticing, not paying attention, we managed to vote it down. So it's true, there are many legislations that we do not manage to vote down. Unfortunately, many laws and other things that are happening, but here and there, and actually during this less than a year term, we've been able to vote down. This is the eighth vote brought by the coalition that we've been managed to make go away. So it's not without hope. And actually, hope is not something that I believe, is not something that you derive only from what happens, but it's a decision, because the place and the time where you need hope mostly is when it looks like there is no hope, where reality gives us no so-called for hope. That is the time where we more than ever need to find this hope within ourselves and to create this hope and to make it reality. But let me please, I want to hear your thoughts and your questions so I can relate to them. So if you will, please.
Okay. Hello. Thank you, Miraz. Thank you.
Oh.
Yes, I just want to remind everybody to press *6 if they want to speak, and to respect others who are speaking, and press *6 again to mute their call afterwards. Sorry, there's somebody on the line.
No problem. Yes. Yes. Hello. Hello, everybody. My name is Claudia Chavez. Thank you, Mera, for your work, for your excellent work, and for your wise words. I know that inside the Knesset and in the political parties of the left, and also in all sectors of society in Israel, there are wonderful things being done, just indescribably wonderful. So I'm not without hope. However, the left, I won't bore you with my analysis, but has been fragmented, and there has been a lack of solidarity. So I wanted to ask you, Miraz, how do you envision leaders from all sides of the left, and I'm meaning, yes, journalists and the kibbutzim ironim and the people in theater and in the arts and in academia, but also political parties and leaders of those parties. How do you envision all these people, and it's a massive amount with enormous creativity, really being able to come together to take back the power and also to take back the social norms that have been eroded in the country to away from that awful coalition of all those sectors in the right that are truly destroying the Israel that we want to see? So I have an initiative in this regard, but I would like to ask you, how do you envision that extra oomph of solidarity and the ability to maintain solidarity despite this internal disagreements, of course, in order to be able to clear that bar that right now is so difficult to clear?
Thank you, Claudia. Can we, Maya, have a few questions, and then I can relate to some of them together?
Of course. Anybody else wants to ask a question? We had some great questions before you came.
Hi, Miraz. This is Carol Winograd. Hi.
Hi, my dearest Carol.
My dearest Merav, exactly. So my question is about your thoughts about Herzog's plan that has been, you know, publicized so much and, you know, lots of comments back and forth, and your thoughts on that.
Okay. Hello?
I'm going to mute myself.
Yes. Can somebody else? There were other questions? There was somebody before you came on the line, and I'm going to repeat the question asking. Yes, please.
This is Shirley, and I have just a personal question, but it connects with the uncertainty of people there and visitors coming from other countries, and I know it has certainly impacted on tourism and family members traveling to Israel. And I've heard this from a number of people, but I have also a personal question. I have members of my family who are looking to go to Israel with their children and rent a car and drive around the country. And in the tenor of what's been taking place there now and what appears to be the case, and we don't know in the future, in the next few months, what would you advise for people in planning this trip?
Oh my God. No, this is so much of a responsibility. I'm sorry. I don't feel that I can make that recommendation.
Okay.
I will say that, you know, today that unfortunately I think all of us face the threat of ISIS and worldwide terror as something that is becoming more and more present everywhere in many places that you go. It's not like that there are any more places that are immune and, you know, like totally safe as maybe there was some kind of distinction in the past. So I don't know. For me, this is, I'm going, you know, all around Israel with no fear, but maybe I'm just irresponsible. So, no, this is too much of a responsibility to take to recommend.
Yeah, I would like to, I wonder whether the Israeli left has a position vis-a-vis the massive attack on the young generation through the Ministry of Education, whether it's approved books or programs, etc., that might result in a long-term damage, and whether there is a counter strategy that is taken by the Israeli left. Thank you.
Miral?
Oh, okay.
So
thank you, Tzvi. Okay, let me start with that and say that unfortunately we are not in power. So there is, I mean, we are doing everything that we can, which means protesting and making this like a lot of noise to encourage the professionals within the Ministry of Education or whatever other ministry that undemocratic steps are being taken by the ministers and the government. And we are really bringing up every kind of public awareness and media attention to it. So, first of all, maybe sometimes the ministers, you know, they do get a little bit, they take back a little bit. And secondly, sometimes it helps people of profession within the ministries, the civil servants that can maybe fight back a little bit more and do their job as those who protect the fundaments of what we call mamlachti. It comes from, I think, when there was a kingdom here. But the common good and the common mainstream in a good way to try and guard it as best they can by the support that they're getting from us when we shout from every possible hill that this is wrong and this is not the way how it should be done and that it is causing damage, etc. Now, I thank you, Carol, so much for bringing up Herzog's initiative. And I have to tell you that I just sat in the Knesset lounge with Jeremy Ben-Ami and we discussed it in length. Now, the only real problem with what Herzog said was that when he met with Hollande, the president of France, he had a sort of slip, a misphrase that was wrongly understood as if he does not believe in the two-state solution anymore or anything of the sort. And this is so not the case. Anyone who has bothered to actually read what Herzog said, and if you've bothered to read the plan, which is a six-page thing, you will immediately see that, of course, the two-state solution is the vision. Of course, the two-state solution is the ultimate goal. Only question is, what do we do on the way there? If it is not achievable tomorrow morning, and unfortunately, we are not in power to try and get it tomorrow morning. But even if we are in power and it takes time and it's not something that's just waiting for us around the corner, what do we do until then? And there is where we differ so much from the current government and from what it offers or doesn't offer. And Herzog says very clearly, he says, on the way to the two-state solution, we need to, A, take responsibility for our citizens' security, which is right now, as we could have heard in this question about should we or should we not even come to Israel because it's so unsafe there. And at the same time and in the same breath, allow the Palestinians to actually prepare and build the infrastructure for a Palestinian state in the C areas, in the B areas, and obviously in the B.A. areas, something that right-wing governments have been suffocating and not allowing for decades now. This is crucial. I mean, because if you look at this thing, not only does Herzog say the two-state solution is the solution, but he offers and he talks about steps that will be done already now, as soon as, of course, he can do them, to actually start building this Palestinian state, a part of the two states for two people solution. So I think there's really not only no reason not to support his plan, but every reason to support his plan, because it's paving the way for us to somehow maintain the two-state solution vision, and it creates a path on which we can go there. Once, of course, there is political will to do this in power in Israel. Once again, I realize that, by the way, in every other opportunity where Herzog spoke about his plan, he spoke about it very clearly. But unfortunately, this one incident in Paris brought too much attention in a wrong way. Now I can understand that, but then again, let's look at the content and the numerous times that Herzog himself testified to this content ever since then. I have to tell you something, one other thing, and this goes back to the left and maybe even goes back to Claudia's question: how do we create solidarity and we bring the left to work together and the different fractions of the left? So first let me say that minorities are always being fractured. We know that. As a feminist, I can tell you that the number of feminist organizations is like inconceivable sometimes, and the different interests within the feminist community, and we all know that. We all were there. I mean, some of you were there before I was, of course. And we know how difficult it is. I mean, it's solidarity on the face of things is the number one requirement, and we all want it, and we believe in it strongly, but in the world we live in, it's extremely difficult to actually get it and to actually recruit people to a solidarity that that commits them to give up some of their specifications. So one of the main reasons that is our responsibility, and when I say our, I mean the Zionist camp as the number one opposition party, the party that I joined because this is the infrastructure for a non-right-wing government in Israel. And our responsibility is to be that alternative. And this alternative government party. So what our responsibility to do in order to be that alternative is to gain the trust of Israeli voters, to gain the trust of enough Israeli voters. Now, when Herzog says the things that he's saying, when he talks about Israeli security and when he talks about what do we do on the way to a Palestinian state when it is not achievable, what he does is he bridges to those who do not want Netanyahu maybe, but do not believe that a two-state solution is achievable. And we know that on both Israeli and Palestinian side, the majority still wants the two-state solution, but a big majority already has no faith in the possibility to actually get there. Once again, something that one can totally understand given the failures that all of us have experienced for so long and so many times and in such painful prices sometimes. So in order to bridge this gap of faith between the understanding that the two-state solution is the right thing, but feeling and sort of realizing that it's not achievable right now, and at the same time experiencing this horrible lack of security. By the way, I'm not saying that there is no lack of security for the Palestinians as well, obviously. What we are talking about is Israeli voters. We need to reach out to them and to gain their trust. This will be the only way in which we can really get back to power and do the things that we believe we should do. Now, there is no question regarding the fact that we are the alternative. Basically, there are three fundamentals. I mean, forget the noise, okay? There are three basic issues on the agenda. The first one is, of course, the two-state solution, the political solution. And there, the Zionist Union believes that there is a solution, that we can reach a solution, that the solution is political and not military, not by power, but by an agreement, something that the other side does not believe, but is doing everything in their power to prevent and to make sure that doesn't happen. The second thing is the welfare state. We believe that there cannot be such horrible poverty in Israel, that elderly people living in poverty, that children living in poverty, single women, mothers living in poverty is just unbearable, impossible, cannot be. And that the basic contract between the citizen and the state is that the social services must be supplied to everyone without private money needed to be paid. The other side does not believe in that. On contrary, privatization is all around the place at the expense of more and more and more people who cannot support themselves. It does not matter how hard or how much they work. And the third thing is democracy. Democracy and freedom of religion. Once again, there we believe that Israel cannot sustain or should, I mean, there is no other option other than Israel, a democratic, a deeply democratic state with freedom of religion, both for Jews and not Jews, when at the same time they believe democracy is, how should I say, sometimes they present it as something that's not a must, yes, optional, like Sheldon Adelson said, Israel doesn't have to be a democracy. And freedom of religion is something that not only do they not see as a must, once again optional, but actually work for the opposite, actually both for the opposite of both, freedom of religion and democracy. So these are the three basic issues on which we are definitely the very clear alternative. Now, it's not easy in the political and the media atmosphere in Israel to maintain not the belief, obviously, but under the right-wing incitement that's been going on basically since 1993, since the Oslo Accord, which posed the first tangible threat to the Jewish right-wing ethnocentrism. This incitement is so powerful and so effective that it is extremely difficult to convey liberal and progressive messages through it. Still, we insist on doing it. So what Herzog is doing when he's seeking for a way and a message that can bridge this distance and this gap and can go over or above, high above the right-wing incitement is extremely, extremely important. Now, when we get to power, it'll depend on the conditions on the ground. It'll depend on who's the partner on the Palestinian side at the time, who are the partners in the region at that given time, who's the American president, what's with the European Union, is Britain in it, is it not? So the plan, which we will actually aspire to execute when we are in power, doesn't necessarily have to be the one that we present now. I will once again say our number one responsibility is to remain the alternative and to gain people's trust as such. So let me just conclude by saying to you, first, thank you so, so, so very much for your partnership and your friendship. Secondly, we need you. You have no idea how much we need you. Right-wing organizations, both civil society and politicians in Israel, right-wing has so much support, so much money from American Jewry. It's amazing and unbelievable. There's no comparison between the support that they're getting and the support that the left is getting in Israel. This is part of the battle. So by being partners, you are actually helping us immensely to be able to hang in here and remain the alternative, which will get the pendulum when it gets back, and it will, because this is the human thing, because this is the Israeli political dynamics, because this is how things are. We just need to hang in here with all the difficulties, with all the despair, and just be there and do the right thing when it does come back. And the fact that you are here with us, I cannot stress to you how meaningful it is for us.
Thank you so much, Knesset Member Michael. This was really interesting and very enlightening. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me once again, and hopefully soon again.